It's Song Talk Radio.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio, the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. We share tips, tools, and techniques, and together we all become better at writing songs. Dialing in from our headquarters in Toronto, I'm Neil Modi, and with me, my usual co-host, Phil Emery. How you doing, Phil?
I'm doing pretty good, calling in from St. John's, Newfoundland. Looking forward to a fine show, and a good show, a clean show, no rabbit punches, nothing below the belt.
Nothing below the belt.
No.
Is that the name of the song tonight? Okay, we'll find out in a minute.
Could be. That's a great name for a song. That's a great name
for a band.
Yeah, it's true.
All right. For everyone else, please send your comments, questions, your band name suggestions to Song Talk Radio on Facebook or Instagram. Feedback at songtalk.ca for the email, and we'll share your thoughts on the show. And please visit songtalk.ca to see the show post for this episode, to find links to resources we mentioned, and to download lyric and chord sheets to follow along with the songs that we feature. Tonight, we're very happy to welcome Canadian singer-songwriter Sherry Jacoby back to the show. How you doing, Sherry?
Hey, I'm good. Happy to be back. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you back on the show. It's been literally like a year.
Yep,
since you
basically
last joined us. So great to see you again.
Yeah.
Before we get to Sherry's great stuff, that's another announcement about our songwriting challenge to write a song in an odd time signature. We're asking our listeners to please send in your songs to us by November the 10th, 2025, send your song to feedback at songtalk.ca by email. Attach an MP3, lyric sheet, preferably with the chords, and then a paragraph or two about how you attacked this challenge and what you went through to write the song. Actually, it would be nice if the lyric sheet included the time signature and included the time signature changes, if there are
any. That would actually be really handy, actually, because I think when people listen to it, it would be helpful if you knew what the time signature was before we go in, just because we'll only play the song once on the show. Of course, you can always come back on the show notes and hear it again, but it'd be good to sort of know.
Yeah, it'd be good to sort of know. I mean, even when we did our challenge last year with the modes, we always, the person, whoever sends the song in the email always told us what mode they're using. So just tell us what time signature you're using.
We haven't started a game show called...
Then we have to listen to the thing. What's that?
We haven't started a game show called Guess That Time Signature.
Yes, exactly. We should totally that. I actually did that at the meetup this past weekend. So,
oh right, did you play one?
Well, I played one of my songs from my electro pop EP, which is all odd time signatures, and not as a way to get feedback, because it's like the song's already done. I'm not going to change anything, but just to get people, into the mood of like guessing the time signature or hearing a song in an odd time signature and getting their heads wrapped around it just a little wee bit.
It's a challenge. I've been finding it quite a challenge. It's it's not something I've done a lot of. I've had to, the way I started off is actually coming up with a drum beat in my time signature, which was going to be 7/4, but I decided 7/8 because it's a bit zippier.
Yeah.
But that helps me to sort of play on top of it because I don't have a natural sense of that time signature. So it's been a good stretch.
Yeah, and that's a great way to do it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, when I did my EP of odd time signatures, it was like a bit of a melody first, but then I would nail down some kind of a beat, some kind of a rhythm to enable me to finish the rest of it, because otherwise, it would be kind of all over the place and not feel very natural.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. On to the main event. Sherry Jacoby is a Newmarket, Canada-based singer-songwriter who brings personal stories to life through song, blending acoustic pop rock with indie folk. She crafts music from the romantic heart, drawing inspiration from Sarah Bareilles, Ingrid Michaelson, and Colby Calais. Her musical journey began with piano lessons from her mother. She later turned to the guitar, which helped her find her own voice and a lasting love for songwriting. She quickly developed a gift for weaving imagery and metaphor into meaningful stories, leading the release of her debut EP, My Light, and the anthemic single, Phoenix. Since then, Sherry has continued to share her artistry with singles, including For the Rest of Time, Puzzle, and Constellation, produced by acclaimed Austin-based producer Shannon MacArthur, Dashboard Confessional. Sherry continues to perform across the Greater Toronto area, sharing her heartfelt songs with growing audiences. Tonight, we're going to be talking to Sherry about her new song, Constellation. Be sure to download the lyric sheet on the show post at songtalk.ca to follow along. Let's take a listen. Nice.
Very nice.
Thank you.
That is super short.
Yeah, that's like 2.5 minutes.
It is.
Yeah.
I think one of my shorter songs, definitely.
It starts really, really quickly. I mean, I don't even think there's like a full cycle of the chords.
I think there's one quick, maybe it's a half cycle.
Yeah, it's a half cycle. I was surprised at how soon it started off. Again, was that a deliberate decision?
No, I think it just kind of happened. I didn't put much thought into it. But I guess none of my songs have super long intros.
Well, of course, long intros are something that they used to do. So you don't necessarily have to. And it's maybe better for streaming and YouTube and stuff. But
I've always found that like if you have if there's some level of complexity in the intro, you've got a melody, you're whistling a melody, or you've got a lead guitar, something like that, or it's a complicated time signature, or it's a complicated chord progression that you want to get. You want a little bit of time for your listener to get tuned to the strangeness of it. But if it's, you know, if it's simple strumming and you're just getting into the tempo of it, then you don't need more than like two bars, really.
Yeah. A very tight little song though.
I found it really interesting. I really like the lift in the chorus. And for the first time in my life, like it's really nice. It's a beautiful lift. It's a beautiful melody. Then when you get into your line with the title, you wait a little bit and it's a consolation of your, it gets, if I wasn't reading the lyric sheet, I'm absolutely convinced I wouldn't hear the words in that line.
The word constellation.
You know, because the rest of it is so articulate and so clear, but then you just kind of whip through that line and that's the line with your title.
I think that's the highest note of the song. So maybe me reaching for that high note made me articulate it less clearly. I'm not sure.
yeah.
Like just hearing the song by itself, I think I would think it would be called Cause I Got You or I'm With You.
Or First Time in My Life.
I was struggling with the title. Yeah, I wasn't sure what to call it for a while. But Constellation felt like the most poetic, I guess, the one that fit the metaphor the best. But maybe not the most obvious.
Yeah, and you've got a lot of imagery in here about light and lifting up and there's actually a lot of diving into and falling into too, which is kind of odd because constellations are up there. But you know, like there's a lot of the vertical movement, in other words, There's a lot of, you know, the haven, the nightfalls, the darkness, the glimmer, the glow. There's a lot of that kind of imagery. So constellation kind of makes sense.
What was the process in this song? Was this a lyrics first or a music first?
I think it was lyrics first. So I was actually on the Via Rail train back in 2019 when it started. The inspiration hit. So I was doing the Musicians on Board program where you can get a free trip from Toronto to Vancouver by performing on the train.
Nice.
And free, but you got to work for it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
You got to perform three times a day.
Yeah.
So I had to learn lots of music for it. And there was this song with the word constellation in it. I think it was Bob Cajun by The Tragically Hip, because they want you to sing Canadian music for the...
It's such a great song.
Yeah. So that word constellation just stuck in my mind, and that imagery of night sky constellation. So I think that's where the inspiration hit, and then the melody came with it shortly after.
That is such a great line. Watching the constellations fall one star at a time.
Yes. Ah.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Now, when you came up with the lyrics, were you intentionally thinking about keeping like the idea of of light and glimmer and shadows and that kind of thing? Or is it more of a natural approach?
Yeah, I think the chorus came first, if I recall correctly. And then I was trying to make the verses match that theme. So sprinkled some glow, some night sky, some of those to make it match my constellation theme.
It's a great chorus. I mean, it's a very chorusy chorus.
Mm-hmm. Very strong.
Yeah. You repeat the chorus three times and just the two verses, but the chorus is so strong. It's like right out of the Carole King songbook.
Yeah. And it's great that you came up with, if the title came first, then it's almost like you did kind of do that keyword exercise like we were talking about last week, Bill. you know, and try and find some words that are kind of in that same light, so to speak. And then craft a lyric out of that. Did it take a lot of editing the lyric? And like, did you complete the lyric before you got to the music part of it?
No, I think it was kind of a rough draft for a few years actually, and then coming back to it. Maybe it was a year or two ago. That's when I really finished it, and I feel like it came together. So I think it was that last line, "Till only our light remains." I was struggling with how to finish that. So that was like the last piece of the puzzle I needed to put in there.
Do you remember what what things you tried, what lines you tried that you threw away?
Yeah, there was a line, "Till our worlds float away."
Oh, okay.
Like as if me and this other person are our own world and we're floating in the sky. Like,
I don't know.
So it sounded kind of poetic in my mind, but then I'm like, I don't think this makes much sense. I don't know why a world would be floating away.
Well, that's what you got to do. You got to try different things and go, that doesn't work.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Oh, that works.
Yeah, it's kind of fanciful maybe, but yeah.
How long did you work on that last line? Like, was it something that took weeks or?
No, I think it's coming back to it a couple times and then just trying different lines until something clicked. So sometimes I feel like you need to step away from a song for a while and not work at it too hard in order to get that final inspiration, right? Like if I just actually tried to work on it intensely for years, I don't think I could have gotten to it.
So were there long breaks between you coming back to this then?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is sometimes you need that. You need that perspective. And it's kind of interesting though, coming back to a song, did you finish it just recently then? Like finish the songwriting of it just recently?
Yeah, I guess it was probably a year to a year and a half ago that I finished. Wait,
so you took literally 3 years to write the song, 3 or 4 years to write the song.
Yeah, or more. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was kind of interesting though, like because you come back like 3 years later, even 2 years later, like you can be a bit of a different person now, and you might feel differently about things, and you might be like, "What the hell was I thinking?" I don't know.
I don't love that person at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm thinking that person's a schmuck.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, but other than that, it's hard getting back into the zone where you first were, I find, you know, to capture that kind of emotion and that kind of drive.
You know what's really fun is when you come up with a riff and you record it, and then you listen back and go, oh, that's really cool, but you can't remember how to play it.
Oh.
So you're sitting there with your tape recorder trying to learn your own song.
Yeah.
So you got to record video.
You got to record everything.
We had a guest on the show a while back. I forget who it was, but they said, yeah, they recorded, they put their phone on a tripod and recorded video so they know where their fingers are.
That's smart. Yeah.
Because also what you think that you did.
Yeah.
Actually isn't it, because it doesn't sound the same. And you're just going, why is this different?
Right. You find it's easier, Sherry, writing on piano or guitar? Your intro, you give a little bit of shade to the piano because it's like, yeah. I didn't get inspired to songwrite until I hit the guitar. Piano, no.
Yeah. No, I think guitar feels a little more natural, but I am liking the piano more now. So it's just a case of me learning piano first and my mom being a piano teacher. And then I guess, sort of rebelling away, being like, I want guitar lessons instead. But then later coming back to her and being like, teach me more piano, please. I should have learned more when I was young.
So. But do they end up kind of different melodically or chord-wise or anything like that if you write a piano song versus a guitar song?
A little bit.
Does everything kind of sound like a Sherry song no matter what?
I think things do end up sounding like a Sherry song overall, because I have this particular style and chords that I'm used to, but there is a little bit of a difference.
Flip, if you started a song, if you wrote a song on piano, do you then perform it on guitar or vice versa?
Yeah, I do interchange between the two. I like that feeling of seeing which songs work better on piano, which ones on guitar. And it almost feels like a new song sometimes.
How do you make that determination if it works better on one or the other?
Just my intuition, I think, of what feels more right. I know guitar is a lot easier to carry around, for example, for performing live and stuff. So I do end up a lot more with guitar. But if a piano is available or a keyboard, then I think it's a nice change.
Do you think your approach to writing songs has changed? Because, of course, you know, we met you back during the meetup, the before times.
Yes.
Like a long time. Like it was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, like it must have been like 10 almost. Years ago. Yeah.
So has your process changed over those years? Now when you look back to sort of your early work, how do you see it? Do you see it as sort of really good or?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I do like a lot of my earlier work just because of that young freshness of it. You know, when you're writing a song and you don't know any of the rules, you're not overthinking it, you're just doing whatever feels right. And then as you get more into the world of songwriting, you start thinking about it more, going to meetups, workshops, reading about, then you start thinking too much about it, maybe, then you dial it back. So I think I went through a little bit of that.
You've been to the song studio camp as well, haven't you?
Yeah. That was my first array into songwriting workshops or learning about songwriting with Song Studio.
You mean it wasn't our meetup?
No, meetup was next, shortly after.
Okay.
It was the meetup. Okay. And I really immersed myself in, that whole world of...
Well, do you find that gets in the way sometimes if you know too much, if you're thinking about it too much? Do you ever have to catch yourself and be like, no, this just feels right. I don't want to think about it. You have to stop yourself from thinking too much about it?
Maybe a little bit. I think just in terms of, for example, how structured my songs are, like you said, with it being a chorus, the very chorusy chorus, right? I feel like my default is to make chorusy choruses that follow a certain pattern and, you know, have a lift and try to make them catchy. And maybe there is something to just kind of letting a chorus be a little more free, a little more unpredictable. Maybe you don't need to repeat it three times. Maybe you can have a different song structure, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But what's great is I can see this, someone buying the song. I can see this, you know, like an artist wanting to do this song because it is kind of catchy. I think most songwriters would love to get, you know, one of their songs picked up by an artist. And this is definitely something that I think has definitely potential because the chorus is so hooky and, you know, your verse is pretty direct. It's a very direct song, really. It's your BPM is 68, so it's not fast, but it's a very direct song. So it gets right into it.
Yeah, yeah. It's very straightforward. It's very clear about what it is. Mm-hmm. You didn't even write a bridge to sort of take us to another place or bring us back. It's just that's part of the charm of this 2.5 minute little ditty, right? It's just like, boom. Just this little, you know, it's a fleeting you know, shooting star or something.
It's like, yes. I was searching for a bridge for a while, and then I just ended up doing some ooze, and then I was like, I don't know if it needs a bridge. I don't really have anything left to say. So
yeah, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes that's, you know, sometimes you don't want to force a bridge, right? Sometimes you really, you got that itch, like something else needs to be said. I need more, some more different lyrics here. Just put it somewhere else, and then you think about how you musically you can make it different and all that stuff, right? But sometimes, yeah, you don't. Sometimes you just don't feel that it belongs.
You know, Neil, thinking back to our the last show we did with ten things that make amateur songwriters sound. Amateur, whatever we decided to call it. Yeah. But this song, they were talking about this, and this song is very clear about one thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's one, there's not necessarily like a linear story. You know, the person doesn't go through any sort of changes. It's actually one emotional point all the way through, you know, and which makes it very, very clear. And I think sometimes as songwriters, we want to, you know, we think, oh, there needs to be some kind of growth. There needs to be some kind of movement. There needs to be like a different from the beginning to the end. And this doesn't. It's actually one clear, simple idea all the way through, which works really well.
Yeah. And of course, it's not a rule, but in general, that's kind of how songs, you know, are delivered. I mean, I was talking to someone the other day about storytelling and song, and I always think back to the Decemberist song, The Mariner's Revenge, which is like this decades-long epic revenge story thing that just goes, there's a giant whale, and there's a whole bunch of things. It's epic, and it's really, really, but it is about one thing. It has one emotional core, but it does have multiple time spans and lots of different, you know, parts to the story. So I think there's, you know, there's a place for that too.
There is, yeah.
and there's no way they would have got through that in 2.5 minutes. It's not a 2.5 minute song. No. It's a little bit longer than that, right? So I think, you know, as long as the story is clear, then it can be about something a little bit larger. But I think, yeah, this is a perfect little love song, right?
What's interesting is this is a positive song.
Yes.
It is. I was just thinking about that. I think my more negative songs tend to be the story ones, the more complex, but because it's a happy, simple emotion, it ends up being.
Which is hard to do, you know? It's we often write when we're in turmoil. So writing a happy, positive love song is hard, and it's hard not to make it cheesy, because I think it can be, and it doesn't, and it's not. It's quite an accomplishment that way.
Yeah, yeah. I think largely because of the metaphor and the imagery. If it was just a plain, you know, I was waiting for your light, you came by, and we live happy ever after, like boring, right? But because you got the, you know, the fun little imagery and the movement and the kind of and like Phil's saying, like super catchy chorus, like it just lifts you up, like. Really, really nice.
What I really liked is you have the "I got you, da 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 da, my hope is true," and that's sort of an example of the call and response melody structure, or the A B, so the A "I got you," and then the response "da da 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 da," and the B "da da 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 da," and then you repeat that all the way through, and that becomes the hook. Is the "because I got you, my hope is true, I fell into, I am with you." Those are the hooks.
Yes.
That really grab the ear, and then you have the response. So it's a very classically written pop song in a lot of ways.
And in some ways, the chorus has got just as many words as the verse, but because it's much more structured that way with the call and response and the repetition thing than the verse is. Especially verse one, because frankly, the drums haven't come in and stuff hasn't kind of sort of grounded itself. It does kind of full of floaty. You don't exactly know where we're headed. And then when the chorus hits, you know, it's really strong and that really ties it all together. So that's a nice, but yeah, it is a very classically pop thing to do, right? The verses and then chorus, lift it right up and take off, right?
Yeah, it's a really strong song, and I can see it having a lot of teeth. Now, what are you planning on doing with this song? Are you thinking about shopping it around, or just releasing it on your own, or?
Yeah, I've released it on my own about a month ago. So it's out in the world with me. But if anyone else wants to pick it up, then that happens. I'd be open to that. But yeah, for now, just me, my release, performing it live. Actually, I'll be getting married in a few weeks and I'm going to perform it at my wedding. So the muse of the song back from the 2019, we are getting married soon. Nice. So it worked out that intuitive feeling that it was going to be a lasting love, that song ended up being true.
That's why it's a happy song.
Yes.
That's why it's remained a happy song.
Yes, thankfully. Yeah, like you said, things can change over the years, right?
3 years later, it turns into a breakup song, right? Yeah.
You never pick up your socks.
That's what the song will be 20 years later, after we've had 20 years of marriage behind us.
Put the damn cap on the toothpaste. What the hell is wrong with you?
Oh my goodness. You've loaded the dishwasher like that.
Yes, the classic change, you know.
Been there, done that. That's great stuff. So this is out officially on your Bandcamp and places.
It's on Bandcamp, Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere else you find your music.
Is it part of an EP or is it a single?
It's a single.
Part of an EP, right? It's a single.
A single, but maybe to be part of an EP or an album in the future too. So far I've done 3 independent singles the past couple of years, but I was thinking about packaging things up and maybe doing something longer for the next release.
Yeah, well, that's what they used to do.
That's what a lot of artist bands seem to be doing now, is they do a bunch of singles and then they clobber them together, collate them together, add another couple songs, and you got yourself a 7-song EP or something like that. It's just okay. Whatever. It's all good. Okay, excellent. All right, I'm hearing the band. I think it's all the time we have on Song Talk Radio. Special thanks to Sherry Jacoby for joining us. And where can our listeners find out more about you or hear some more music?
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, or go to my website, www.sherryjacoby.com.
Awesome. We'll put links to that in our show post for this episode.
And Jacoby is spelled...
It's like Jacob with a Y, J-A-C-O-B-Y.
Jacob, why not? Okay, we want to hear from you too, so please send us your comments on Facebook or Instagram to @songtalkradio, or send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca. Also be sure to check out our YouTube channel for live performance videos and full episodes, and subscribe today to the Song Talk Radio podcast on your favorite podcast provider. And please visit us at our Patreon page. You can visit songtalk.ca/support. Thanks to all who have supported us so far. You can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mention on the show on our resources page on the website. And please join us at our next monthly Song Talk Meetup. Whether you're in Toronto for in-person meetups or anywhere in the world for our online meetups, it's free to join on Eventbrite and free to attend. Bring a song and a lyric sheet and get constructive feedback from other songwriters. Stop by songtalk.ca for the link. You can follow me at neilmodi.com. You can follow Phil.
philemery.ca.
And Sherry, what's your favorite social media channel? Where do you post the most?
Instagram.
Right. Be sure to follow Sherry on Instagram. Yeah. And be sure to stop by the website, songtalk.ca, to browse past shows and find out how you can be a guest. Thanks for tuning in and
keep on writing.